This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Shel Nymark. He's a ceramic and glass artist. He's president of the board of the Embuto Valley Library in Dixon, which recently won the National Medal for Museum and Library Service. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
So you actually went to the White House and received an award from Michelle Obama for the Dixon Library.
Yes, I went to the White House. I wasn't the one who received the award. Our library director, Felicity Fonseca, and a patron, a 16-year-old boy named Joseph Estrada, went up and received the award, but I was in the audience. It was really exciting.
So let's talk about how a small rural New Mexico library goes from, well, I don't want to say non-existence, because it's actually been around for a while, but gets to the level that you've gotten. What's the history of the library?
Well, the library was started by a group of citizens in Dixon. We started meeting around 1990. Maybe there were 8 or 10 of us who were a core group of people interested in starting a library. And we met for a couple years trying to figure out, what do we do? How do we start a library? And finally, we jumped in, rented a little building in town, and started looking for books. And that was 1992. And about that time, there was a bookstore in Santa Fe that went out of business. And the New Mexican did an article on us, and the bookstore called us and said, do you want our shelves in our collection? And we said, sure. It was a used bookstore, and that was the basis of our collection. So we rented this old place that had once been the post office in Dixon, and it was a store at some point. It had a big room and then a house attached to it, so it was $200 a month. We had no idea how we were going to keep raising $200 every month, but we just jumped in on faith and went
in. That's not very much when you think about an institution, but in a small town, it's no joke.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have any funding. We didn't have anybody with any money in town necessarily, and we just figured, we'll figure it out. Somebody came forward and donated a rug to us, and we'd meet every Wednesday and sort through books. And some of us wanted to get rid of most of the books, and others would just put them back in the pile for saving, and it was really fun. We laughed a lot. And
because some of the books you get donated are probably crazy, and you don't want them on the shelves for the kids.
Oh, yeah. It was a used bookstore, and there were design books from the 50s with, you know, perfect little housewives putting their laundry away and stuff like that. And the person who became our first librarian, Jane Kaluta, she wanted to save every one of those.
Yeah, they're kind of an archival historical document.
They are. They are. They were fun. But anyway, a person named Sandy Funk, who had studied library science in college and who was a citizen, she came forward and helped to organize it all. At first, all our books were just color-coded, and some woodworkers in town got together and built shelves. They had a couple of shelf-building parties, and we opened in May of 1992 on less than $2,000.
Now, when you say the books were color-coded, did you eventually get to a more sophisticated cataloging system?
Yeah, we did. It took years. Actually, probably about 12 years. Our first grants that we applied for were to catalog the library, and get this kind of software and stuff you need to do that. And it was probably a good 12 years before the entire library got cataloged. It's a big job. It can take as much as 20 minutes a book.
Library of Congress system?
It's the Dewey Decimal System.
Dewey Decimal System, yeah, yeah. Now, what was the need that you saw in Dixon, New Mexico for a library?
Well, Dixon had, it was going through kind of a low point at that time. The I can't remember if the store was closed or was shortly going to close. The bar, which was one of the only gathering places in town, had closed. The gas stations were closing. It just seemed like Dixon was becoming a bedroom community. And there was a strong need that we, a strong feeling that we needed to have a place where community members could gather. The churches had their halls, but really the only place that belonged to the whole community was the post office, and people would meet there and talk. But the need for Resolana, a place where people could gather and chat, felt really important. And then we wanted to have a library. My own personal interest, at that time I was reading a lot of left-wing books about what the CIA had been doing in Latin America, and I wanted to share my books with other people in the community, and I thought, well, a library would be a good way to do that. We also, El Rito started a library maybe about 3 or 4 years before we did, and they were a real model for us. We saw what they had done and went, we could do that in Dixon.
It's interesting, I think, a number of things what you're saying. One of them is the incredible importance of public space, public gathering space, not just cyberspace, but actual place where people can get together.
Yeah, that's
really important. That's not like just, I mean, restaurants are great. We're sitting in one right now, but actual public space.
Yeah, it's so important. And, oh, we had so many ideas when we were talking about it. When we'd meet in Marsha Brendan's living room, we'd talk about, well, maybe we should have toys at it or tools and have people be able to check those out. And, you know, it was always important that we be community center as well as library, that we would bring in speakers and have cultural events.
And you have a whole event series going.
Oh, yeah, we do. We have a lot of events. It's amazing.
What kind of things?
Right now? Well, we just finished an archaeology series. We have one. We've had it for 2 summers in a row. There's a archaeologist, Severin Fowles, who bought a house in Dixon a few years ago, and he is a professor of archaeology at Columbia University, and he does research and brings graduate students out every summer to New Mexico, and he's become a real integral part of the community and has brought several pretty eminent archaeologists to come speak at the library, and we have as many as 100 people show up for each of those talks. We've had a series of speakers about aging issues. We found, you know, I think all over the country, baby boomers are getting old and people are interested in aging in their homes, and a group of people in Dixon started meeting to talk about how we can care for each other as we get older, and that led to a series of people speaking on aging issues in movie night with movies that talk about aging and caretaking people.
And it's really a place where, and a lot of libraries have now really taken this role where people can get, who don't have internet access at home, can have computer and internet access, which really gives them a window into all kinds of things, like being able to get jobs and being connected to the rest of the world.
It's huge. It's really huge. In our library, we built a new library that we moved into a year ago, February, and we were able to expand our computers. Before, we only had 4 computers, and now I think we have 8. And they're always full. People, we have free internet. People are always sitting out in front of the library when it's not open. There's a lot of poverty in our town. People cannot afford computers. They cannot afford internet service. And it's a real major service for us to provide.
Now, you're also connected to the local farmers market.
We are. The library sponsors the farmers market. It happens in the parking lot in front of the library.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
This is really, I mean, a kind of model for community centers far and wide. What kind of connections do you have with other towns in northern New Mexico who are trying to do things like that?
Well, there's we have an organization called RAIL, which is a coalition of now 5 libraries in Rio Riba County. El Rito, Truchas, Abiquiu, Vallecitos, and us. It's, RAIL means Rio Arriba Independent Libraries. And we're all 501c3 libraries. We were all started by community members, just like the Dixon Library was. And we've been meeting maybe 3 or 4 times a year for maybe 15 years. It's been a long time since RAIL has been together, and we all have the same kind of problems and the same kind of successes. We all do incredible work in our communities, and each library has so much personality. Each one is quite different. The El Rito Library, it's beautiful, by the way. It's in an old school, and it started, the first time I went to visit El Rito when we were trying to start our library, it was in a little room. I walk in the library, plastic is covering all the books because the roof was leaking onto books. And it was just crowded and yet wonderful community space. Since then, they've been able to take over the whole old school building that they were in. It's been a long struggle, and they have beautiful old wood floors and mud plastered walls, and have film series and just a wonderful children's area. It's a great library. They're doing wonderful things. Vallecitos is a little village up above La Madera.
Yeah.
And they just opened a library recently, and they just joined RAIL at our last meeting. The other 4 of us have been meeting together for 15 years. And they told their story. It was amazing. One of the services they have, they did a survey of what their communities wanted, which all the libraries have done. And one of them was they realized that people couldn't pay their phone bills. And they offer free telephone service to anywhere in the country for anybody who walks into their library. They're only open a few days a week, but it's really important. And I've noticed in our library, I've been working with some teens, and it's hard to get a hold of them sometimes because they can't afford to put more minutes on their phones. And I started thinking, maybe we need that too. Maybe we need a free phone booth at our library. It's just, you find out things as you're doing it that the community needs and addresses those needs. And I think this model of a 501c3 library, because it's so community-based and so grassroots, it is light enough, we can be light enough on our feet to actually address the needs of our community.
We're talking to Shel Nymark about the library, the Embudo Valley Library here in Dixon, New Mexico. An award-winning library, and all of these libraries sound like they're really worthy of probably a lot more recognition than they usually get, given the amount of work that goes into them and the amount of community service that they really provide.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like the award really honors all the RAIL libraries. But the thing we've been meeting about for so many years is, the downside is that we don't get funding, essentially. Yeah. We have to raise our operating funds year after year, and it's a big deal. Our budget is about $100,000. The other RAIL libraries, I'm not sure about Vallecitos, it's probably smaller, but the other RAIL libraries probably have budgets between $50,000 and $80,000 a year, and we have to raise it every year. And there's times where each one of us is broke, and we go, how are we going to keep our doors open? And that's a problem. Rio Riba County probably gives more money to its libraries than any other county in the state. They give each of us $7,500 a year. So you can imagine how far $7,500 goes,
right,
when you're trying to pay your bills, pay a librarian. It's just not enough. Municipalities support their libraries. The Santa Fe Library is supported by the sales taxes that happen here, but because we're unincorporated, we don't have that.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, and you know, when you talk about all the expenses, another service that you provide is a low-power FM station.
We do. Yes. Back around 98, maybe, a community member came to us and said that the government is offering some low-power FM licenses. Would the library be interested? And we said, sure. And he pulled it together, and his name is Clark Case, and got all the necessary paperwork and equipment, and we launched our radio station about the time we moved into our new property around 2002.
Now, is that KDLK?
It is KLDK.
I mean, KLDK.
Uh-huh.
And I love that because LDK is El Dique, which is Dixon's nickname.
Exactly.
So you are doing so many different things, and on top of all that, you, because you are an artist, you're a glass and ceramic artist, hatched this really, I have to say, kind of brilliant idea of doing a teen mural project, and the mural is a map of the Embudo Valley, which is gigantic. I mean, it's absolutely huge, but it's made of ceramic.
Uh-huh.
And so it represents place in a way that people can really get involved with and see themselves.
Exactly. People walk up to the map and want to find where they live right off the bat. The map's only been up a few weeks, but it's been really gratifying to watch people's reaction to it. People love it.
And so describe this map for us and describe the process of making it and community engagement in making it.
Well, I had this idea several years ago that I wanted to do a map mural of the area and involve teens and emphasize the acequias and the names of the acequias. I spoke with Esteban Arellano, who since passed away, about it, and he was interested in old place names of the area, the names of arroyos and various sites around town. So we applied for some grants, and a year ago in June, we got our first grant from the Sheila Fortune Foundation in Boulder to start making the map. We identified some teens with the help of their teachers, and I hired four teenagers to come help me with the map, local teens who were born and raised in Dixon. We started out drawing historical sites around town and then making ceramic plaques to go with it. And then Peter Arnold from the Arid Lands Institute, who comes and does water research in Dixon, he comes every year to work. He volunteered to make us a 40-foot long topographical map that we used as our model. And we would trace sections of the topo map onto clay and then build it up into relief to create the map, the ceramic map we did.
If people want to go actually see that, where is it?
The map is on the co-op building in Dixon. The library owns now 1.5 acres in the middle of Dixon and owns the property the co-op, the Dixon Community Market, is on, as well as the library and community center. The market are our tenants, and the mural's on the side of the market building.
Now, if it's on the side of the building, that means that it's able to withstand weather.
Yeah, I use a clay body that withstands the freeze-thaw cycle.
So the library plays so many roles in the community and is probably just a really comfortable place for all different kinds of people to gather and to go in and out and to use as they wish. It also plays another role, which is kind of being a place where economic development can happen. What does that look like?
Well, besides the farmers market, and besides, of course, what you mentioned, the internet helping people get jobs, people are always coming in to write a resume and do things like that. We have because of our special relationship with the co-op, we how it works is the co-op pays 2% of its gross sales to us as rent. So let me just say that I hope people from Santa Fe, when they're driving up towards Taos, stop in the co-op and buy some local produce. Yeah. Use our deli and eat lunch there, because any time that you spend money at the co-op, it helps the library. So we have been able to get some grants because of our relationship with the co-op. We've gotten a couple grants from the USDA. They helped most recently put in a deli counter in the co-op. They gave us a $50,000 grant to do that. And hopefully the sales from the deli counter will help the income for the library. So we working together with the co-op is a big part of the economic development. Of course, the co-op provides several jobs for people in the community, as does the library. That's one way we help with economic development, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, I mean, you're talking about working with other libraries in northern New Mexico. Are you thinking about the rest of the state and what a rural library program might look like, maybe how you could serve as a model in other parts of the state?
Yes, very much so. RAIL has been talking for years about how we could get some regular funding for the libraries. We do such great work in the rural communities that it seems like it would be great to have a statewide rural library initiative. We're not sure how it would work. One idea that I have about it is I would like to see the state legislature put $1 million for each rural library. There's about a dozen nonprofit libraries in the state right now. And if there was an endowment of $1 million for each library, there would be $50,000. Endowments usually give 5% every year. So there would be $50,000 a year for each library, which would allow us to keep our doors open. It's really cheap for the amount of benefit it could provide. And I'd like to see perhaps a fund happen throughout the state that would encourage other communities to start libraries. And I would like to see RAIL be ambassadors to other communities in the state to go and actually hold workshops and talk about how we started our libraries, how a community can pull it together and start something like we did.
And once again, RAIL stands for Rio Arriba Independent Libraries. Now, are you looking for donations of books?
We're always looking for donations of books. When some donations go into the library, and the ones that we can't use, we have a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year book sale in the garage behind the library, and other books go into that sale and help support the library.
For more information, people can go to embutovalleylibrary.org, and they can find out how to get there, how to contact you, how to drop off books, and maybe just show up and have a wonderful time at the library.
I hope they do.
Shel Nymark is an artist. He's a ceramic and glass artist, and he's president of the board of the Embuto Valley Library in Dixon. Once again, they recently won the National Medal for Museum and Library Service. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to Studio X for their technical support and web design.